are you going? If you're going okay, that's easy to answer. If not, then who do you tell about your sadness, your frustrations, your fears, your disappointments? Perhaps you don't tell. Perhaps you put your best foot forward, put your game face on, get on with it. Today, I want to encourage you that in difficult times, we can bring our pain to God, all of it. And these are difficult times by any measure. Lockdown number one changed life as we knew it almost overnight. Some of us were hit harder than others. We lost loved ones. We lost livelihoods. We lost the natural rhythm of our lives. We lost certainty. Then we saw some recovery, and cautiously we began to live less cautiously. We came out of our shells, stretched a bit, and breathed a sigh of relief. And now, here in Melbourne at least, we find ourselves 3 weeks into a second lockdown. We're back inside, bruised, tired, and over it. We may be feeling a bit depleted, empty. You may not be feeling this, but chances are you know someone who is. Calls to mental health services like Beyond Blue have doubled from Victorians alone since the announcement of the second lockdown. We in the church are not immune. Indeed, our traditions don't always help us to acknowledge, let alone process, these feelings. We can pick up the idea that we're not to express our distress or pain, but to bravely go on, propping ourselves up on scriptures that speak faith we do not always feel, expressing confidence when we really think we've been left dangling. So what do we do when we feel confused, defeated, and abandoned? How do we manage the tension between our pain and our faith? Well, we can express it to God in lament. Lament is an expression of faith in the midst of confusion and anxiety and sorrow. I want to show you how lament shows up in different forms in Scripture, then look at lament as a gift, and then focus on lament in the life of God. So I'll start with our passage in Lamentations. This was written from Israel's exile, a time of desolation and deep, horrifying trauma. In verse 19 of our passage, in the centre of our book, the writer describes the torment of his affliction in exile as bitter, wormwood and gall, distasteful and depressing. And then in the midst of this, he remembers God's love and compassion. Those well-loved verses from 22 to 24 remind us that God's compassion and love are fresh every morning. However, this is the only positive note in the whole book of Lamentations. The book ends asking if God has totally rejected Israel. Grief and trauma don't travel in straight lines, and neither does lament. This book and parts of others that we tend not to read in church spare no details of the traumas that give rise to lament. Scripture does not shy away from human horrors or the protests and grief and confusion they leave behind. In Job 30, verse 15, he speaks of the effects of losing his possessions, his family, and his health. He says, "Terrors overwhelm me. My dignity is driven away as the wind. My safety vanishes like a cloud." In Psalm 6, the writer asks, "How long, O Lord, how long? I'm worn out from my groaning. I drench my couch with tears." And in Psalm 42, "My tears have been my food day and night." Psalm 22 asks a question you may have heard elsewhere in Scripture. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning?" Lament is not idle complaint to anyone who'll listen. It's raw honesty. People of faith telling God they feel bitter, unsafe, frustrated, tearful, and rejected. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah's prayers of lament over not being able to conceive were so passionate that Eli, the temple priest, thought she was drunk. The heart of lament is engaging God with our emotions. It's not always pretty. Some cultures find this easier than others, but we all cry, and God is able to handle our tears. After Hannah pours out her distress and anguish to God over her childlessness, Eli the priest affirms her prayer, telling her to go in peace. There is release in releasing our feelings, in crying out to God. It is an act of faith and not of doubt. In lament, we also face the sin exposed by our responses to this crisis and others. We lament as we notice our complacency or our sense of entitlement, our unhealthy attachments or lack of maturity. We lament over the suffering caused by sin, personally, locally, globally. In chapter 11 of John's Gospel, we see Mary and Martha lamenting to Jesus at the death of their brother. Each say, "If you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died." It almost sounds like a rebuke. Martha goes on to say, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Here's lament again, as she voices both her pain and her trust in Jesus. There's confusion and disappointment and mystery here, but also hope. Jesus does not rebuke either sister for greeting him with these words, and even weeps at Lazarus' tomb, even though he knows he's about to raise him back to life. The honest question of the sisters and the grief that moves Jesus to tears show us that God is close and he grieves just as we do. So we've seen lament in the Old Testament and in the New. We've seen it in carefully crafted poetry in Lamentations and in the incoherent prayers of Hannah. We see it in the borderline rebuke of Mary and Martha and in the tears of Jesus. How many of us have wanted to say, or maybe right now want to say, these sorts of words to God about the losses we've experienced of late or even in the past? If you had been here, God. If you had come when I needed you, God. If you had responded to my prayer, God. What a gift that is, to be able to speak so frankly with the Creator. And that's what we'll be looking at next, the gift of lament. So what is the value of this lament? Why is it a gift? Well, it comes out of the tension between the good God we know and who we know loves us, and the distress we are suffering or seeing. It's our gift for a world that is rightly suspicious of neat answers to the mysteries of suffering. In lament, the church can draw alongside the world and pray its pain to the Creator. As Tom Wright says in his book, God and the Pandemic, the followers of Jesus are called to be people of prayer at the place where the world is in pain. Lament is a sign of a sure faith, rooted in the reality that we worship a God of mystery and a broken world. It's an opportunity to show an authentic wrestling faith in a God who is able to act. Wright suggests it's not the place of the church to discern the causes of suffering, but to minister to the suffering. History speaks of Christians serving the sick and the suffering of the wider community, not just its own, ministering sacrificially, giving birth to the very idea of human dignity. Many of you serve in this way. And we can bring the tragic situations we encounter before God in lament on behalf of those we serve. In lament, we share the pain of others, calling on our Almighty God to act as we weep with those who weep, in line with Paul's instruction in Romans 12:15. So lament is a gift, both to God's people and to the world. So now we'll take a look at lament and God. Jesus knows the sense of abandonment we feel when we cry out to God in our suffering and hear nothing. In Gethsemane, he wept for the sin of the world and what he was about to endure on behalf of all of us. He even asked to be spared the cup of suffering, if it were possible. He was preparing to take on the suffering of both the innocent and the guilty. And so he prayed fervently, passionately, and in great distress, to the point of sweating blood, Luke tells us in Luke 22, verse 44. If we're in any doubt that these were prayers of lament going on in Gethsemane, we hear it clearly in his words from the cross, where he quotes Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Scripture shows us all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lamenting. We see God the Creator, the Father, lamenting over man's sin in Genesis and all through the Old Testament at the unfaithfulness of his covenant people, Israel. In Romans 8, Paul describes the groaning of the Holy Spirit, groaning within us as we groan with the suffering of God's fallen creation. Our triune God knows about lament. And we have comfort and a hope beyond lament. We know this from the examples I've mentioned. Childless Hannah conceived. Lazarus was raised from death. Job got his audience with God and was restored to health. Israel returned from exile. These resolutions point to the greatest resolution of all, because Jesus, the one who cried out in abandonment on the cross, was raised to life again, the firstborn from among the dead, in a new kingdom free from suffering, tears, and sorrow. His resurrection is the proof of this kingdom, and the life of his Spirit in us, his believers, is our guarantee that it will come into fullness at his return. The resurrected Jesus is our comfort in lament, the answer to our pleas for God to intervene. The intervention has begun, but we also wait for the final end of the suffering we and the world experience when Jesus returns. So we continue to lament out of the tension of current suffering and the future hope in the God who loves us. And while we wait for Jesus, we can use the gift of lament to be honest with our all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing God on behalf of our families, our communities, our nation, and the world. So what does that look like? Well, I'd suggest two things. First, be honest with God with all your feelings, even those that seem unpresentable, unpalatable, uncomfortable. If you've had significant loss and have not brought it to God in prayer, please consider doing that. You can pray with a close friend or seek prayer ministry. Secondly, find ways to pray that work for you. We are so blessed with resources in this part of the world. You are bound to find something or someone who can help you. You can try using the Psalms to pray for yourself and for others. And let me encourage you, bringing our griefs and our pain to God is an act of trust, not of doubt. God is faithful. He loves us. And he's the only one to whom we can bring our pain and the only one who can comfort us. As the psalmist writes in Psalm 73, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever." God is the strength of our heart, and he is able to empathize with us because he is the suffering God. Let me invite you to bring to God the sorrows that may be on your heart as you listen to the next song, knowing that you can trust him completely.